Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days or these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, precious Father, you've heard our songs, you've heard our prayers. You know our thoughts and you know our needs. Yes, right now that in a powerful way, as was requested in the prayer, that you move on our lives and empower us, Father God, to live out of these godly virtues that are so possible in a world where folks talk about the impossible. One thing we know is true. It is possible for us to live in a way that gives you glory and honor. And that is required of all who would call themselves men, women, children of God, Father God. Thank you in advance for a move of God this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The perfect gift of the word. How many ever got the perfect gift? I've told you guys that I received a perfect gift years ago when I was a young man, probably a young teenager, possibly 12 or 13 year old. My father brought me the perfect gift. It was a leather GE transistor radio. I love that thing. I love listening to the radio. Still today, I listen to the radio. I love listening to the radio, and I'd rather listen to a game than watch one. Somebody say, because you're watching the Browns, but that's not why. Don't think that. I know we got some haters in here, but don't think that. I drive an hour and 15 minutes one way to work, and people say, how do you do it? I do it because I love listening to the radio. I love listening to talk radio. I love listening to sermons as I drive. I love listening to Bible studies. I just enjoy listening to the radio. I have radio in my kitchen. I have radio in the bathroom. I have radio on the patios. Radio in every room that I frequent. I have a radio. And I'll sit there and I'll listen to the radio. But when you talk about God's perfect gift, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. I have this great text here. I'm going to talk about the Word of God today. I'm going to try to unwrap it for you guys and get some understanding of why God gave us this great Word. But in 2 Timothy 3, Paul's telling Timothy about this great Word. And again, telling all that would preach, all that would aspire to preach or teach, whether you teach in a small group study in your home. In your home, you may have some friends over, you may have family members over. You may go over the lesson, maybe go over the Sunday school lesson prior to it being taught, or after it was taught, or after the sermon is preached, may go over what the preacher has preached. That's noble. That's biblical. The Bereans did it. Paul preached. People went home. They studied what he preached. They examined what he preached. They thought about what he preached. They came back and they had any questions. And Paul commended them for that. So it's good to study God's word. And Paul's telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, Timothy, All. Let me explain this word all before we even get into the rest of the verse. All means altogether, completely, entirely, totally. Somebody said the whole enchilada. Okay? The whole ball of wax. I had all these words come up. The whole what? Kit and caboodle. How many go back that far? Y'all know what I'm talking about then, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not given by inspiration of man. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why, Paul? Why do we need instructions in righteousness? Why do we need correction? Why do we need reproof? Why do we need the word of God to be profitable for all doctrine? Because we are fallen human beings. Amen. And we need to be guided. Amen. We need to be guided. All of us. I was talking to Justin in my office this morning. Listen, brother, God didn't call me to preach my life. Amen. Okay, he said preach his life. Preach the word of God and preach it in its entirety. Preach it in its completeness. Amen. Now let's start over. All scripture. Amen. Even the pages you tore out because you didn't like. I couldn't preach the word of God if I didn't preach all scripture, because there's parts of it that would offend me. Parts of it that you can't preach that, preacher. You need help in that area. I need help in a lot of areas. That's why I preach it. Amen. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Even when a bad work comes, when a bad work come your way, the word of God will equip you to even make that bad work a good work. How do we make that bad work a good work? Even in the bad times, we ought to be able to give God glory. We ought to be able to give God glory in the worst situations, just like in the best situations, because we so tuned in. Well, if God is blessing me, I can raise my hand. God, you ought to be able to raise your hand when God ain't blessing you. Amen. You ought to be able to raise your hand when you are both abounding and when you're not abounding. Amen. Because life ain't all sweet. And life can get bitter. Can you bless God when it's getting bitter? Can you bless God when it get tough? Can you bless God when your husband ain't acting right? Can you bless God when your kids ain't acting right? Can you bless God? Can you give him glory in the dark? That's why we study the word of God. That we'll be thoroughly equipped unto good work. Let's talk the word of God. The word of God. You hear this word all the time. It's infallible. That means it's perfect. There's no error in God's word. Rather, that's because you don't like it. Don't make it wrong. Amen. Okay, don't be like some folks say, well, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. God said it. And that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Well, I don't know about that. Times have changed. That was back then. Let me tell you something. God said it. That settled. Well, fast, you old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned. The Bible old-fashioned is just almost 3,000 years old now. It's an old book. Well, you know, times have changed. You know, things are different now. Well, I don't got it. God says, yesterday, saying, he said, I am God, I change not. Amen. Watch this now. It's not only infallible, it's in error. You can't find an error in it. Now, some folks will say, well, you know, I can find errors. And if you know more than God. You know, like the man said, he went to heaven. Well, the word of God said, no man went to heaven. I'm going to believe the word of God. You see, Proverbs says this. Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add words. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. See? Second, the word of God is complete. It's complete. See, some of y'all, if you ever pick up a Bible, and it's got the first and second book of Maccabees in it, put it down. If it got a book called the Book of Wisdom, put it down. If it's got a book called the Book of Sirach or Barak or Enoch or Thomas or Tobit or Judah, put it down. Amen. Put it down. That's not the word of God. See, the word of God, nothing can be added to it. It's complete. It's canonized. It's complete. And you know what? It's so complete that Jesus had to give John a warning in Revelation 22. He said, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written." It's a good book. Amen. It's the number one seller of all times. Okay? I can give you more. Let's look at Peter. Peter's talking about the Word of God. What it does. The Word of God is the power of God to save your soul. We are born again by the Word of God. If you're in here today and you are born again, there's only one way that you could have accomplished that. You had to hear the Word of God. When I say hear, you had to hear it in a way that you could understand it. You can't be saved by hearing something you don't understand. Amen. I hope I made that plain. A whole lot of folks running around, "Well, I'm saved," or "I'm a Christian." Well, you better understand what you believe. You better understand John 3:16. Okay? I hear you. I hear you, preacher. Listen. 1 Peter 1:23. "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brother, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now, can you do that? Can you do that? Can't do it on your own strength. You can't do it with that heart you was born with. Okay? See, the heart that you was born with can't love like God loves. Amen. The heart you was born with can only love those things that love you back. That Teddy Pendergrass love. Okay? Yeah, it feels good loving somebody when somebody loves you back. But can you love somebody when somebody don't love you back? See, that's agape love. See, agape love can love when somebody don't love you back. Okay? Agape love can hang in there. Agape love can understand, "Well, you know what? My wife or my husband, my child just going through, I'm going to hang in here with them and pray that God will turn them around." See, you got the right kind of love. See, Peter is saying this, being born again, verse 23. Here you go. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, you that seed that you got from your parents, that's corruptible seed. Okay? Then there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need a new seed. You're going to need a new seed planted in you. That's why you go to the sower, and the sower job is to plant seeds. I'm trying to plant some seeds. Some of you need some new seeds. Okay? Some of you got a corruptible seed. "Well, Pastor, how do I know I got a corruptible seed?" You will know. But if you don't, let me help you. Let me help you. See, if you got a corruptible seed, see, you're going to have a spirit of gossiping, and you're going to have a spirit of envy, and you're not going to be able to resist certain things. Where you find that at? Let me put a scripture on it. Some folks say, "Well, Pastor, put a verse on it because I might want to read this when I get home." Okay, let me go to Galatians chapter 5, and you may not have all these, but if you have more than three, you probably got a bad seed in you. See, a good seed gonna do good things, and a bad seed gonna do bad things. And you know, "How do you know, Pastor? Well, I had a bad seed." Okay. And everybody here that's born again had a bad seed. Okay? Nobody was born with a perfect seed. Some preachers say they was born Christians, but I don't believe them. Amen. Because the Word of God say, he said, "Oh, Nicodemus," he said, "Nicodemus must be born again." So if Nicodemus had to be born again, all of us had to be born again. Amen. But how do I know I got a bad seed? But here's how you know. I'm in Galatians 5, and you guys are familiar with this verse. Verse 17, she said, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? Now the works of the flesh, or the works of that corruptible seed, are many, or manifest, same thing, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, rash, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling. Sound like a Christmas party, don't it? Not ours. See, if you got a corruptible seed, corruptible seeds like corruptible stuff. Corruptible seeds like stuff that the devil like. But see, if you have a incorruptible seed in you, if you had a word of God in you, your desire is going to change, and your heart going to change, and you're going to be filled with love and joy and peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, self-control. How you doing? Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I got a corruptible seed or incorruptible seed. You ought to know. Amen. You ought to know what kind of seed in you, because your thought life will tell you what kind of seed in you. What you like will tell you what kind of seed is in you. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, let me rephrase that. I don't want you women to think I'm being chauvinistic. Therefore, if any man, woman, child be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, he got a new seed in him. Old things have passed away. Behold. Okay? You're not going to sound the same. You're not going to look the same. You're not going to talk the same. You're not going to go to the same places. You're not going to have the same friends. And I'm not sitting here saying you're going to just drop all your... You're just going to just cut all your friends out. Y'all know the illustration I use. It'll come to mind when you walk through Walmart, you see the pile, big high pile of snow. It's going to melt down. See, when that word get in you, and that Holy Spirit get in you, then that stuff will start melting down off of you. It might take a little longer for some. Okay? You may have some cold days and there's no melting, but it's going to melt. And them old friends, they ain't going to be hanging around you because they're going to see something new. And old friends, unsaved folks can't run with saved folks. Amen. I'm just here to tell you now. If you leave here and all your friends are unsaved, then, okay, if your social page is being blown up by unsaved folk, then there probably ain't nothing they can behold. Oh. Now, Pastor, how can I do this? Let me help you now, because it's the word of God cleanses us, and somebody need a cleanser. See, Cindy and I bought this dieter's tea. I want to get a cleansing. But I ain't doing this by myself. So I say, Cindy, I made you a cup of tea. And I drink a cup of tea, and Cindy drink a cup of tea. Cindy say, I ain't got no business. You ain't got no business telling this story. But it's out there now, so I got to tell them. So me and Cindy drinking our super dieter's tea from China. Y'all see how slim I look today? I'm like, oh, okay, little burp. I say, Cindy, this tea remind me of when I drink that stuff to have a colonoscopy. I said, I can't drink none tonight because I got to preach. I'll be like, Miss Brank. That's as far as I'm going with that story. But the word of God is a cleanser, and it gives us divine instruction. This is what makes the word of God so perfect. Watch what it says, and you guys know these scriptures because I went over them so many times. So Psalms 119 and 9. This is just beautiful. But what I want you guys to see in it is not just It's not just words. You got to have some understanding. This is why when you listen to Mr. Dunleavy and Minister Brian, these fine teachers instruct you. I believe they know what they're talking about. I know they're students of the Word of God. I know they're studious. Okay? I don't have to come in there and listen to all every Sunday because I know they burn. But watch what it says. Where shall they? Young man, cleanse his ways. I'm on a cleansing, a question mark there. How do we cleanse our ways? Listen, by taking heed thereto according to the word. See, now listen, let me tell you something. If your children in here ain't studying God's word, don't have no interest in the word of God, no interest in Bible study, no interest in prayer, no interest in singing in the choir, no, none of that. You got problems. You're going to have problems with that child. I'm here to tell you. And I say this, you can have problems with them if they is in the choir, because you're not going to sing your way to heaven. Hell going to be full of singers. And preachers, and deacons, and ushers, and trustees, and did I hit everybody? Maintenance workers. Teachers. Because the word of God gives you more. Watch what it does. Now watch what happens here. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now watch this. With my whole heart, I sought thee. There's a seeking that comes with this cleansing. It's not just you gonna take heed to his word. There's a seeking that comes with it. Not only are taking heed, but he said that my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I want the commandments of God close to me. The child of God, the person who's cleansing their ways, they got the word of God, the commandments of God close to them. Why? Because you're under attack. Well, you heard Cindy Bryan say, Simon, Simon, Ray, Ray, Kaylin, Kaylin, Randy, Randy, Jill, Jill. Satan have desired, strong word, desire to have you. He wants you. He wants you to be his. He wants you to be his. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. Leave that church alone. Leave that choir alone. Stop going to Bible study. Just be a rebel. Be a hell raiser. Your parents, they love the Lord. You don't have to love the Lord. He wants, I want you, I love you. You are beautiful to me. And the Lord said, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have you. Y'all know, huh? Y'all know. When I seen Cindy, she working at the bank, standing behind there, coming there with my GM check. I'm like, oh, got a new teller. I got the GM check, didn't have nothing else. I'm a little check to check. So I'm like, who's this? And then I desire to have her. Y'all know how it is. Boys out there, girls out there, you want them. Satan wants you the same way. And then, but see, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Know what he wants to sift? Sift all your faith. All your joy, all your love, all your patience, all the things of God. He wants to sift you from your church family. He wants to sift you from your own family. He that's how he operates. He wants to sift you like wheat. Come on, let's keep going. He says this cleansing, this Holy Ghost cleansing. He says this young man who wants to get himself cleansed up. Thy word have I hid in my heart. How about that? Hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, Lord, I got the word of God in me. Amen. And it's in me for a reason, because when them temptations come and them trials come and those opportunities come to not give you glory, and situations come where I know if I partake in this, if I do this, I'm not going to be giving you glory. Amen. If I do this, I'm going to cause you great pain. That's why I hid it in my heart. So when that temptation come, I can stand. And after I've done all that I can do, I can stand some more. And then he says this, blessed art thou, Lord. Teach me thy statutes. See, the person who has a cleansed heart has a teachable spirit. Here's a person that can be taught. See, some folk can't be taught nothing. You ever talk to a 16-year-old? You ask them about, I know. They know everything until they're 25. Then they realize how smart their parents was. I know. I know. Are you teachable? You can't be cleansed if you're not teachable. And if you're not in a position to be taught, you can't be cleansed. And then you have this great testimony. He said, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You got a testimony. How's your testimony? Can you actually, as a born-again believer, tell a lost soul how good God has been to you, what he's delivered you from, what he's brought you through, how I became a Christian? You got to have a testimony. You can't be a man or woman of God without a testimony. Amen. You got to be able to tell somebody what God has done in my life. Tell them. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. See? Got to have a testimony. Everybody say got a testimony now, but I don't know what my testimony is. That's a serious concern. Okay, that's a serious problem. You don't know what your testimony is. There has to be a time where God showed up in your life and done something. And God only do big things. You got a testimony. Ain't got no testimony. You run into the mall, you're out the Christian shop, running somebody lost. Just broke down on the side of the road in the mall. Going through hell. Bad marriage, bad family, bad, everything going bad. You can't have nothing to say to them. Well, let me tell you something. There was a time I was going through, and I was in the same situation. A lot of similar things you're going through, but you know what? God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart and gave me the power to overcome some things. God is still in that business. Don't miss the opportunity this holiday season to tell somebody about what Jesus has done for you. If he's done anything. Watch this now. I'm just going down this text. Now I didn't write all this stuff down. There's got to be some joy in you. Some of the saddest people I know say they're Christians. Walk around, their lips poked out like they're sucking on a lemon. Just no love, no joy, no peace, no fun. Can't tell a joke around, they get all beside themselves. I don't like being around them folks. I'm silly. You got no sense of humor. Just thin-skinned. Say anything, they just go crazy. Cray-cray. Here's what Solomon saying. He said, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. You know what? There was a joy found in the hearing God's word. Now, to the man of God that's a believer, that know the Lord, there's a blessing that comes from hearing the word of God. I want to hear the word of God. Amen. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Watch this now. I will not forget thy word. Well, you'll forget it if you don't have it. If it ain't important to you, you will forget it. Now, you won't forget your cell phone. You get in the car and get down the street a couple blocks in, you know what's up. Running in the house. Got the cell phone. The Bible is sitting in the window till it turned orange. All right. You ain't picked that up in a while. Pages fall out. We are matured by the word of God. You know the word of God matures us? You ever met a childish Christian? Childish. Just don't know nothing. Don't know nothing. Why? You got to know something. And you standing before the judge. You standing before the judge. He's going to ask you some questions. Okay? And then not only that, he's going to cross-examine you. Make sure you're saying the right thing. He may ask you, man, you know, a good prosecutor asks you the same question three times in four different ways. And you'll be all messed up. Was I there? Where was I at? You won't even know. See, you need to know what you know. You need to know something. See, because the word of God, if you're not maturing, if you're not maturing, you're not growing. Come on, please, somebody say, I got to grow. I look at them babies. I look at these babies. They not hollering. Most of the time, they not hollering for nothing. They hungry. They want some milk. They want a granola bar. They want some mashed potatoes. Christians don't holler for nothing. Watch this. Peter again. 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, lay aside all malice. Okay? Y'all know what malice is? I hate to keep going. Malice is you gloat when somebody else going through something. You got a girlfriend or a friend in school and they going through something, they fall and break their leg, good for them. Good for them. That's just malice. You wishing bad on folks. Lay aside all malice. Now Paul, Peter's talking to church now. He's talking to his church. He's not talking to strangers. So this is going on up in here. Okay? Wherefore, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Guile, the opposite of sincerity. You just a trickster. You just say whatever you have to say just to make somebody happy. You don't mean it. You know? I'm going to do it. You ain't going to do it. I'll pray for you. You ain't going to pray for him. I'll pray for you. Pray for me. I'm going through. Okay, I'll pray for you. You don't even thought about him. The next time you see him. Have mercy. Now watch this now, people. As newborn babes, Peter's talking to his church. He says, newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. The sincere milk of the word. That you may what? Grow thereby. That you may grow. Are you growing? Do you know more about the Lord today than you did last year this time? Amen. Do you know more about Jesus Christ now than you did when you got baptized? Or did you just go through the motions? Or did you just go down a wet devil, come up a wet devil? Amen. I mean, have you grown? Can you do more for the Lord? Are you bigger? You know, I see folks all the time. Now, this is why the Lord said, preach the Bible. Don't preach your... Because I go to the gym, and I see folks been going to the gym since... I've been going to the gym almost 40 years now. And I see the same guys, and there ain't grew a muscle. And I'm like, how can you tell your wife you're going to the gym every day, and they ain't got a muscle? I see the man sitting on the machine doing leg presses, texting. I'm sitting here like, are you serious? Ain't got a muscle in the gym every day. Saying this one plate on each side. Ain't grew a muscle. Church folk like that. Ain't grew at all. Let me tell you something, folks. I know these folks, these prosperity preachers, messed up the prayer of Jabez. They just messed it up. They messed it up. This is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles 4. Jabez, serious about things of God. Okay? Now, Wilkerson and them guys, they just chewed it up, saying, okay, put it on your refrigerator and pray to God, bless you with a new Bentley and new cars and houses and all that. That's not what this prayer was about. This man wanted to be great for God. See, he wanted to be great for God. And when God saves any of us in here, we ought to want to be great for God. We ought to want to be great for God. Amen. See, you go out in the real world, you want to have a great resume. And, you know, write a great resume. You may pay somebody $200 to fill you out a great resume. But your resume for God don't have nothing in it. Nothing in it. Jabez said this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. How about that? And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. That's a great word, sorrow. OK. Okay? And Jabez, watch this now, called on the God of Israel. He called on him because he had a relationship with him. He could call on him, and he called on him and said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He wanted to be blessed. He wanted to be blessed. Now watch this now. This is where the prosperity folks just messed it up. "And enlarge my coast." How about that? He said, "Clean it out of all the Canaanites that was there and make it big so that you can do a great work." He wanted to enlarge my territory so I can have a condo over here and a condo in Florida and a condo in Trump Towers in New York and a Learjet to get me from place to place. That's not what he's saying. He says, "Enlarge my coast." Why? "That thy hand might be with me." What he's saying? That you may be with me, and that the word of God would be preached through me, and the power of God would manifest itself through me, and I can do great things for you. I can do great things for you, and I'm not going to take the glory. All glory belongs to you, that thy hand might be with me. Not only that, now watch this now, young brothers and young sisters in here, this is a great prayer. Let me tell you something, I better pray this one a lot. I pray this one a lot. Watch this. "That thou wouldest keep me from evil." Anybody pray that? Anybody pray that this week? See, you may be in some mess. You may be in some mess right now. You may be facing some situation that if you were to ask God, "Let God keep me from evil." We live in an evil world. That ought to be constant. That ought to be constant. Jasmine Young, get on your knees tonight and say, "Lord, keep me from evil." Because I know it's evil out there. Yeah. I know it's evil out there. And I know it's coming at you young folks. Coming at us old folks. Okay? Evil come at Deacon Oliver every first of the month. "Lord, keep him from evil." Y'all don't think I pray for Deacon Oliver? Gonna come after me. Y'all think they don't come after me? That's how Satan do. He come after God's people. You heard the prayer. He come after the church. He don't, you know, listen, let me tell you something. I go on sermon audio. Listen, these brothers that have been preaching on Friday, sermons is getting lots of views, and people are downloading these sermons. Listen to what these men of God are preaching up in here. You think Satan happy with what's going on up in here? Y'all better watch it. You step up here and talk about, "I'm going to preach God's word." You better know hell going to come against you. Amen. And you better be praying, "God, keep me from evil." Amen. Keep me from evil. Why? "That it may not grieve me." You know evil will grieve you. It'll grieve you. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. All that will come at you. And then, you know, we know the big three. The big three in preaching, I say it all the time. Women, money, and alcohol. Take it down a man of God in a heartbeat. Better pay attention to who you allow into your little world. And this is what Jabez said. "I want to be great for you, God. I can't be great for you if you don't keep me from evil." Because you can't keep yourself from evil. I'm not making sense. You cannot keep yourself from evil. Only God can keep you from evil. You ain't strong enough. What's the word of God say? "Resist the devil and he'll flee." But God has given you the power to stand. You can't stand on your own and face the devil. I hear people, I bind Satan. You ain't binding nothing. Yeah. If you binding Satan, why ain't bothering me every day? I bind Satan. You ain't bind nothing. Amen. Bind Satan. Listen, watch this now. "That it may not grieve me." Watch God answer Jabez. See, you go to God with the right question, you get the right answer. "And God granted him that which he requested." That he got answered and gave him that. You know, you can't do ministry without God's divine protection. And I'm not talking about ministry up here. I'm talking about ministry out there. You can't do it. And all of us are servants of God. All of us are ministers in the purest form of the word. We all ministers. All of us. And we out here ministering. We out here giving God glory. We out here lifting up the name of Jesus. Because everybody in here, people should know you as a child of God. Amen. All of us should be known as a child of God. Amen. If you're a Christian, it should be no question. You come to the gym, "Hey, pastor. Hey, pastor, you going to my job? Hey, chaplain. I mean, I'm out there probably deeper than you guys, but all of us out here should be known at our place of employment, at our schools, in our community. There's a man of God over there. Something happened. Go over to Columbus' house. They go to church every day. Come on, have them pray for us. Now, I don't want you going over there to Columbus giving them the last rites and all that. Here's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Here, the weeping prophet. Here, this man preached, and nobody got saved on his ministry. Nobody got saved. He was in jail all his ministry. Watch what he says in Jeremiah 15, 16. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That's the child of God. That's the man of God. That's the man of God that ought to be preaching to you and teaching you on Sunday mornings and ministering to you. If you're going to listen to a man on the radio, the word of God ought to be the joy of his heart.
Amen.
Now watch what Jeremiah says. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Called by thy name. There's a man of God. There's a child of God. I wonder what they call you guys at your schools. I'd like to know. I'm gonna sneak in there one day, ask them, well, you know, do you know that, you know, the sister so and so over there was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and professed to be a saint? No. Are you kidding me, right? Sanctified through his word. Stay with me, folks. We're sanctified through his word. We are sanctified through his word. Jesus said this. And that word sanctified means separated. Mm-hmm. Called apart. Called to be separate. Called unto God. Watch this out. Paul, Jesus said to the disciples, talking to God about his disciples, said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17.
Amen.
Watch this now. The word may keep them. You want to be kept. You got some stuff you keep. You can protect it. You know, you got your favorite suit. You got your favorite dress. When you take it off, what do? You put it in a garment bag. And you set it somewhere because it's got value to you. See, the word of God keeps us. If you're not getting no word, you're not going to be kept. You're not going to be kept. And when the attack's coming, they got to come. The only way you can sit here right here today and say, well, you know, I'm not under attack, is because you are with the enemy. That's the only way you can sit here today and say, I am not going through nothing. Really what you're saying, me and Satan is like, cool. I'm down with him. And you're definitely down with him because he is down. Okay? So if you're not going through nothing, right now you can sit here and say, you know what? I'm having a time of my life. I'm having a time of my life. That's because you're probably down with Satan. You done crossed over enemy lines and you in here polluting the worship service. I'm going to take back to the enemy what we talking about in here. Yeah, I'm just undercover. Let me give you one more and I'm going to let y'all go. Because it's a word. It's what it do. It enlightens us. How many here need to be enlightened?
Amen.
Oh, that's what you come for.
Amen.
To get enlightened. I look at this text and the word of God says, my son. Uh-oh. I'm in Proverbs 23. I wanted to go Psalm 119:05. I have it. Y'all know it. The writer is saying, I believe it was David, might not have been, thy word is a lamp unto what? My feet, and a light unto my path. Why is the writer of Psalm saying that? Because he know we live in a dark world. And you can't walk in this world with your own light. See, that's why we always running into stuff. See, you talk to people, always running into stuff. It don't matter when you talk to them, they always in some mess. Know why? No light. They walking in darkness. Your lights ever go out in your house? Well, as you know your house, you still light the stuff your toe. Many folks have broke their toes when the lights go out. Proverbs says this, 6:23. I'm reading 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. And what he tells you to do about the word of God, bind them continually upon the heart. This is that great gift. And tie them around your neck. Why? To remind you a constant reminder of what God has done or what God should be doing, a constant reminder of who you should be. Okay, bind them around thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. I'm going to read that one more time because I think somebody needs to hear it. Okay, we don't like being told nothing. Okay, am I the only parent in here? The kids don't want to hear nothing? Must be. No amens. Me and Ray, we in our class by ourselves. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Now watch this now. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Has it stopped? I still got bosses. I still got folks telling me what to do. Matter of fact, I got two new bosses last week. Only in the state of Ohio can the chaplain have 10 bosses. I got 10 bosses. And I tell them all, I got one over all y'all. Amen. But I got 10 bosses. They just don't got nothing to do with these folks. So they just relocate them. You supervise the chaplain. Because they just get displaced. They just go supervise the chapel. See, that's what I mean, young people. Reproofs of instructions are a way of life. You can't take instructions from your parents. You're going to have a hard time out there in the workforce. Because somebody always going to be telling you what to do. Amen. Tell your kid to do something. Have a temper tantrum and stomping and lip poked out. Go out to General Motors and do that. Go out to General Motors and do that when the boss asks you to do something. Oh, man, you remind me of my father. And he say, let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You a mess. Let me give you last one. Honestly, this is the last one. Did I say last one, last one? It's all right. Vaughn being so quiet today. We are kept by the word. Again, I'll just be kept by the word of God. Listen, folks. Listen. Psalm 17:4. I got to get you this. I'm going to get going. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. I know I got this hell bent. Warning message, but I see it so often. We had a big incident on my job this week. One of the officers out there got involved in some real bad stuff. And everybody, I said, you know what? Let a man take heed of himself, lest he what? See, they're not a sin that any of us couldn't do. Okay? I mean, how could she do that? How could he do that? Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing you can't do. Amen. If you don't have God working in your life. When I see unsaved folks, people that I know don't know the Lord, getting caught up in crazy stuff, it don't shock me. Okay? Because for not by your grace, there go I. So I say this, young people and old people, middle-aged folks, without the Lord, without the word of God working in your heart, without the word of God asking God for divine protection, there ain't nothing you can't do. But one thing for certain, two things for there ain't nothing God can't do. Okay? God is good all the time. I say this all the time. He says he's good taken and he's good given. You got to be able to give God glory in everything. And this Christmas, when you unwrap the word of God, I hear you guys, unwrap it. Study it. Bible says study to show yourself what? Approved. A workman. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And if the word of God is not, if the word of God is not interesting to you, or you feel like you've lost your desire for the things of God and for the study of God's word, ask God. Ask God. David did it. David said, Lord, restore me the joy of thy salvation. Ask God, give me the power, give me the desire in my heart to study and to love you and to learn of you. And he'll answer that. I'm confident. I can say that with 100% confidence. God will give you that. Give me that back. You need it. You need it. See, I'm not waiting for any more signs. Okay? I'm waiting for his return. All the signs is in place. Okay? Listen, wars and rumors of wars and floods and 40 degrees in one day and ice storm the next. This, all the signs is in place. Now we ought to be waiting for him to return. And Lord, that's why I warn you guys, I don't want him to return and you're not ready.
Amen.
Because there are going to be some folks not ready. I hope they don't come out of Christian Bible Baptist Church.
Amen.
Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the great joy that you've given me to preach and study and to teach. I just pray right now that somebody heard something today. Somebody heard something today that feel maybe redirect them and get their focus back, get their commitment back to the things of God. Touch their hearts. Give them the desire for study, for prayer, for love, for peace, for joy. And if they're struggling, give them the gift of long suffering. Let them hang in there just a little bit longer. A lot of us quit right when God's getting ready to work. Let us not quit on you, on our church, on our loved ones. Let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us stand, and when we've done all we can do, let us stand some more. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.